We hear these words in the gospel. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. Do you see him? And do you trust him? As we journey through and enter into these next 4 weeks of Lent, these will be two questions, two themes that we can reflect on and pray on. Do you see him? Do you trust him? You see, next Sunday, we'll hear about the account of the woman at the well and whether she sees who this man is before her, who's speaking with her, conversing with her, and will she trust him? Then the following Sunday, we'll hear about Jesus healing a blind beggar who is blind from birth. But when he restores his sight, can he really see him? And does he really trust him? And then a week later, the following Sunday, we'll hear about Lazarus, who dies, who's raised from the dead by Jesus, but his sisters, Martha and Mary, do they really know who Jesus is? And do they trust that he will do what he says? Do you see him, and do you trust him? Now today we hear about this incredible moment that three apostles, Peter, James, and John, get to witness. And they are presented with these two questions. Do you see him, and do you trust him? But in order for us to understand what's really going on in today's story, we have to go back in time. We have to go back to where the New Testament lies hidden, the Old Testament. Specifically, we're going to go way, way back to Moses, when Moses ascended a mountain. You see, the people crossed over the Red Sea in that miraculous event. They were enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. God rescued them, led by Moses. They journey through the desert. They come to this mountain, and God does something miraculous at the mountain. Now, once we look at this story, and then we see the story today, there are striking similarities. So let's go back in time. When Moses was at Mount Sinai, it says this, that he goes up on the seventh day, and that when he ascended the mountain, he took three special companions. And then he's up on the mountain, and this cloud comes over. It descends. And the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, Scripture tells us. This cloud is a sign of God's presence. And this cloud led them across the sea. It led them through the wilderness. It led them to the mountain itself to show that God was with them. Now, while Moses is on the mountain, this cloud comes over and a voice begins to speak. It speaks to Moses. And then finally, it says that when Moses came down the mountain, it says this, his face shone with the glory of having been in the presence of God. Moses' face reflected the glory of God so much that he had to wear a veil because the people couldn't handle it. It was so bright. Now, with that story recounted for us, let's fast forward in time to the gospel today. When does Jesus ascend the mountain? Matthew tells us, after 6 days, on the seventh. And who does he take with him? Three special companions, Peter, James, and John. And then what happens? He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. But something's a little different here. Whereas Moses' face reflected the glory of God, Jesus' face is the glory of God. And he doesn't wear a veil because he reveals to us his totality, who he really is. That's not all. In the gospel, we hear that a cloud comes over and casts a shadow over the mountain. And that when that cloud descended upon the mountain, a voice spoke, saying these words, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so no wonder the reaction of the apostles is so exaggerated. They fall prostrate on the ground. They know exactly what's going on. They read their Bibles. They're good Jews. They know they are in the presence of God. And so they fall prostrate and they hear the voice speak, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." But something happens very uniquely. Jesus approaches them, touches them, and says to them, "Rise and do not be afraid." And then Matthew gives us this detail, which is very important. "And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone, the beloved Son. They see him. They see him in all his glory. And in an even more incredible way than ever witnessed by the apostles, they see Jesus' divinity. They see him for who he is. There's no more need for a cloud, for a sign of God's presence. No, there's something greater than Moses and Elijah here. God himself. God incarnate in Jesus Christ. Now, this is crucial for us to understand and crucial for us to grasp, because just a week before this, Jesus has some very strong words for those who want to follow him. He says, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What a difficult saying. This man who is the Messiah, who's the Son of God, says that he's going to die, but rise again. How could he die? How could he let it just all go away? But Jesus today makes a revelation that is crucial, and that death is not the end. Death does not have the last word. Do you see him, and do you trust him? My brothers and sisters, we're 12 days into our Lenten journey, just 12 days. For some of us, like me, it seems like 12 weeks. 12 days. And maybe for some of us, this end is out of sight. Maybe the journey can seem so long, we can't see the end. But today, the scriptures give us a glimpse into the end. The scriptures give us a glimpse into what Lent is all about. Father, pray these words in the opening prayer. "Be pleased, we pray, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory." You see, Lent is all about conversion of heart, repentance. But for what reason? To purify our spiritual sight. To purify our hearts. To purify our minds, so that we can see Jesus more clearly. Because our practices of fasting, almsgiving, and prayer are not just asked of us to make us miserable. No. But to purify us. To show us the real meaning of life. So that we can see Jesus for who he is. That he is our God. That he is our Savior. That he is our Redeemer. Because once we can see that, we can trust him all the more. The Transfiguration reveals to us that the Passion always leads to the glory of the resurrection. The Passion always leads to the glory of the resurrection. And within our own lives, we have our own passions, do we not? We have our own crosses to carry. We have our own sufferings to deal with. We have our own miseries to go through. But the question is, will we let it lead us to glory? You may ask, well, how do we do that? Well, we have to unite it to Christ. Then when we're going through those difficult moments, we say, "Jesus, I trust in you. I offer this to you." In Lent, we make a special effort to train ourselves to seek first the kingdom of God. To seek first Jesus Christ. Because we know with certainty that just as Lent ends in resurrection, so too our passion, our Lent of life, will lead to resurrection, will lead to a transfiguration of our own hearts, the transfiguration of our own lives, even to eternity. I'd like to draw our attention to the responsorial psalm today. We pray this together. Lord, let your mercy be upon us as we place our trust in you. I have a question for you. What does your prayer life sound like this Lent? What does the language of your prayer include? Maybe I suggest these words. Lord, let me see you. Lord, let me see you for who you are. Let me see your love for me. Let me see your blessings in my life. Let me see your goodness. Lord, let me see you in my husband, in my wife. Lord, let me see you in my children, in those family members, those ones that it's difficult to get along with. Lord, let me see you in my coworkers. And Lord, in seeing you, let me love you. Or maybe these words, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I'm having difficulties in my marriage. I trust in you. Jesus, I'm having difficulties with my son or my daughter. I trust in you. Jesus, we're struggling to make ends meet to provide for our family. I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. In just a few short moments, Father will hold up the Eucharist for us all to adore. He will hold up Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Will we see him? And will we place our trust in him? And as we go forth into this next week, can we see that Christ is leading us? Notice in the gospel the words that it says, that Matthew says, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. See, he's the one that's initiating. He's the one that's leading. Can we see that? Can we see the ways that he's guiding us and leading us along this Lenten journey? And if we see him, do we trust him enough to follow him? Even if that means bearing our own cross. Jesus, let me love you. Let me see you. Jesus, I trust in you.